You've put your blood, sweat, and tears into creating a storefront that lights you up, serves your clients well, and contributes significantly to the community you love. You are my hero, and I affectionately call you a rebel woman. Hey there, my name is Melissa Rose, a brick and mortar business owner with a handful of kiddos and a few passion projects that I head up like this one. I'm also your visibility coach and consultant for a service-based business like yours. I'm passionate about helping small business owners thrive in their community and become the only option in town for their industry. In this podcast, we're going to share the nitty-gritty of running a successful brick and mortar business by sharing stories, talking strategies, and learning practical tips to run a kick-ass business. Ready to be inspired, empowered, and equipped to create the small business of your dreams? Let's get real. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Brick and Mortar Visibility Podcast. So glad you're here. My voice is a little groggy as it is allergy season still these past few weeks. And I have the tissues close by, and we are going to enjoy today's podcast. Enjoy my raspy, sexy smoker's voice as we dive into today's topic. I am so thankful for you listening. If you are brand new, we talk all things brick and mortar visibility using SEO. I am very passionate about SEO because it is a way to get buyers and not followers. I was recently a guest on a podcast where we chatted all things SEO, leaning into the Google Business Profile. And that was brought up as something that just came out of my mouth organically, was that SEO creates buyers, because when people are Googling you, they are ready to buy you, all right? They need help. They want to get that desire that they wish for, whether it's like something that's, you know, luxury, or maybe it's something needed like a plumber, or maybe it's something for their kiddos like dance lessons. They want it and they are ready to buy for it, and they're going to Google you, and you want to be found first. That is what this podcast is all about. So if you are brand new, welcome. And here is your PSA, everybody. Go grab that social media post that performed really well last week, or maybe it's an evergreen post that you have, and bring it on over to your Google Business Profile. If you don't know what I mean by that, you need to grab my free workshop. My Google Business Profile workshop is listed below. MsMelissaRose.com/deals is where all the things are. And you can grab that workshop. It's about 35 minutes long. You can speed me up, but it walks you through exactly what to do, how to do it, where to do it, so that you are laying a strong foundation for your SEO efforts. That is where it starts, and it is free, and I invite you to go grab that workshop. If you are a health and wellness provider, I have some great opportunities for you, so listen up. The first one is if you are local to the St. Croix Valley, so Hudson, Wisconsin, Stillwater, Minnesota, Woodbury, River Falls, that area. If you are a health and wellness provider specializing in mind, body, and soul, I invite you to be part of Healthy in the Valley. Healthy in the Valley is a great way to amplify your brand, your business, your services and offerings by partnering with Healthy in the Valley. Healthy in the Valley is the area's best wellness providers and resources in the St. Croix Valley, all in one place. And our mission for Healthy in the Valley is to encourage and empower our community to make choices about their health and wellness that support them and the local businesses around them, so the entire community can thrive. If that sounds like something you want to learn more about, please go to healthyinthevalley.com and then just scroll down a little bit and you'll see a blue button that says Become a Member of Healthy in the Valley. Click that button and you will see all the features and benefits of being part of this organization. And it's also a really great introductory way to work with me over the course of 6 months. So check it out if you are a health and wellness provider in the St. Croix Valley. Now, if you're a health and wellness provider nationwide, worldwide, I have an offer for you. This is from past podcast guest Joanna Sapir. She has a workshop from May 6th to the 10th called Empowered Practitioner Event, and this is the third time she's offering it. It's 5 days of sessions designed to help wellness practitioners create a resilient business that attracts high-quality clients and creates steady, predictable income in their practice. If you're interested, the link is below, but it's joannasapir.com/empowered. Again, just scroll through those show notes here and click on it. It'll take you right to our landing page. It's a free workshop.
geared to help those health and wellness providers. Today's podcast is brought up from a recent client that I had. Grace, thank you so much for the opportunity to serve you and work with you. She is the owner of Nadora Sky Permanent Jewelry. I'm going to link her below because she's just a lovely person. And maybe you're in the Georgia area, the Atlanta area, and want to get some permanent jewelry. Go to Grace. She's lovely. And it was because of her VIP day that this episode is inspired. And I am going to actually share my story with this because it reflects what her questions were. And the question is, you have great SEO. Things are working for you. People are finding you. You are the only option in town. You have this blue ocean. When do you take that leap and invest in some commercial real estate? And I am going to now bring it to my story so that I just honor Grace with privacy. So the first thing I really want you to think about is dominating that SEO, all right? Get those foundation things in place because that will make these next decisions a little easier. If you have great SEO, people are coming in your doors regularly. They are finding you all the time. Every time somebody walks in your doors, you are asking them, how did they find you? And they are going to tell you Google. So that means your SEO is working for you. And then you are going to grow and you are going to be at a point where you can't handle any more clients unless you get a bigger space. I remember taking out my loan for my commercial space that I have and worked with just this beautiful man who helped me, this banker, and his daughter was a dancer. So just was just this God moment where I just had the right people helping me because he truly wanted to see me succeed. He was such a good person and got me that loan. But what he said is this is what happens with brick and mortars is that you get a space, you max it out, and then you're stuck. You can't take on more clients. You can't do bigger things because you need a bigger space. And then it's this kind of vicious circle. All right. And you need a bigger space. So then you take out another loan or if you didn't have the cash on hand. So this brings me to my very first point. And when you are thinking about growing and scaling, there are two ways to do that. Well, mainly two. You can grow a team or you can grow with digital courses, memberships, or online. Okay, so a team or online. And for my business, I have a dance studio. So I have tried to do some online things. So I have done online courses for curriculum, and I have done a membership called Dance on Demand. So I have experience there. I will be very honest with you. It is totally different marketing a brick and mortar, local brick and mortar, than an online platform. An online platform, the beauty of that is it's worldwide. The hard thing about that is it's worldwide. So dominating SEO in an online business is harder because you don't have those local things to help you with that. So you have to really create strong content that makes people want you or get you or find you. And that's the strategy by niching down. So I have Dance on Demand. It's geared for people who grew up dancing and miss it and just want to take online classes. And that is there for them. But what I've learned is it takes a lot of money to market that really well because you are reaching a broader audience. So I have then taken that membership and used it as a training resource for my staff. So it's not gone to waste and it's still there. And I do still have members, but I'm using it differently. With local SEO, it is easier to dial in that local people through great keywords of what they're looking for. And it's less expensive to advertise if you choose to do that because it's local. So that brings me to my first thing you must consider, first point, is being super lean. We want to, as business owners, you have to plan for the worst. And I hate to sound negative, but it's going to happen. If it's not a pandemic, it's going to be something else. It's going to be a recession. It's going to be high interest rates. It's going to be inflation. It's going to be something. So you have to be super lean. And I would never recommend somebody take on a space that's bigger unless they are extremely maxed out and they are busting at the seams. I have seen this in my studio where I basically quadrupled my space and it genuinely is too big for me. It's too much. And I needed to find a way to lower my rent by a third. How the heck do you lower your rent by a third? You don't go to your landlord, people. You got to be creative. Thankfully, my dear friend from college wanted to open a dance boutique for like shoes and dancewear. Thankfully, I have no interest in doing that. So thankfully, she is now in my space and she covers a third of the rent. That was a huge gift. Okay, so I put it out there. I need to lower my rent. There's no way I can do this rent the way it is. So I got creative. Can you get creative that way as you up level to a new location? The reason I see so many business owners, because we are glass half full. We are optimists. We want to grow. We see the possibility. We see the opportunity. That's who we are. And I see so many business owners have a really great first 6, 8, 10 months in business and go, oh my gosh, I need a space. You guys, that's great. But I would hold off maybe like a full year so you can see what the seasonality of your business is. Are there slower dips? Are there times when you truly are busy and you just happen to hit those? I know from my experience, when I put something out new, I usually have the most engagement. All right. So if I put out a new class or an opportunity to take class, dance classes for my studio, that first time is usually the biggest. And then it slowly dials back and then it builds up again. All right. So that first year in business, truly, you are just getting your bearings on what is the seasonality of your business. And so many business owners see excitement and growth and, oh my gosh, I can't do it. So they take on some overhead that is, quite frankly, too big for them. And now they're stressed because they are not, their overhead is just taking up all their cash flow. And that is a really, really hard place to be. You don't want to be cash poor. Just like when you buy a house, you buy this beautiful house and you can't really enjoy it because there's no money to furnish it or to enjoy all the bells and whistles. So just being really, really mindful of, do I really need this space or do I want the space? Is there a way to be creative with this space? Could I go into a bigger space and have a subletter with me? Or could you go into somebody else's space? Like for a dance studio here, I could have gone into churches or community centers or even hotels and used a second location, maybe just 2 nights a week versus getting a big building and then being like stressed about paying rent or paying team or paying insurance and all the other things that come with it. Maybe I could have done that. And in hindsight, I wish I did, you guys. I wish I would have been more resourceful and said, you know what? I'm still going to do it out of my house, but I'm going to take 2 or 3 nights and rent out this church that I happen to go to. So that way I'm able to give to the church that way through rent. And, use a space that's already there versus stressing me out even more with financials. So that is my personal insight into growing and being the only option in town and deciding to get a commercial space and being, oops, that was a bit too much. I bit off and now being resourceful in making it work. The second point I want to make is purposeful expansion. All right. Are you expanding with your business and staying in line to who you are and what you provide? I'm going to go back to Grace. She does permanent jewelry and she was just very adamant, which I really appreciated, that she was like, I want to be permanent jewelry. I don't want to go off and do other things. I want to be permanent jewelry and the only place for permanent jewelry. And I really admire that because as business owners, it's very easy to be like, oh, and I could add this and then we could do this and then we could, and before you know it, you're like holding weddings in your dance studio. You're like, what? You know, and I'm being dramatic there, but that's what happens because we see all the potential and things you could do, or you have people commenting, oh, you could do this too, and you should offer this, and you could do this, and oh my goodness, it's my family that is the worst. And I say it lovingly, but they're the ones like, have you tried this? Have you done this? Have you? And it's just like, I need to stick to my niche. I need to stick to what is working because it's easier to market. When you start adding all different classes and genres and things, it's very hard to market that well. And when you're known as one thing, it just makes life a little easier. So be really purposeful on what you want to do. And it's, as business owners, it's very easy to justify why you're going to add it. So I highly recommend a coach or a mentor there because we just do. We can justify it. We're glass half full. We want to do the things. We see the opportunity, but we don't necessarily look and see if that is making an impact in our bottom line. My brother is a spreadsheet geek, and I so appreciate him. And I recently had a dear friend create a spreadsheet for me because I was just overwhelmed with the spreadsheet I was given from my coach because quite frankly, I'm not a million-dollar studio yet. So this spreadsheet I was given, this template, was just so, so big and cumbersome for me. So I had a friend dial it down for me and just made it super beautiful for me and made it work for me. And then my brother commented, he goes, well, this is classic entrepreneurs. You guys want to add and keep, oh, we should do this and we should do that. But then when you actually put in the numbers and put it in the spreadsheet where it shows how much and numbers and time and people paying to make it happen, you find out that's really not going to bring any money in. So why put all the energy into it? So that is the point of really knowing your numbers. And I'm just going to be real. I did my business for many, many years without really understanding the impact each class, person, client, teacher has on my studio. So to have this beautiful spreadsheet laid out for me where I just click, put in a number or raise it up a couple of dollars or take it down a couple of dollars and it just ripples through is the most beautiful gift I have been given. And everyone needs it. Everyone needs that so that you can make smart decisions with your business and not just add another product or service because, oh, that sounds like a really great idea. You really get to look and see, is this truly making an impact in my business? Another way that you can grow and scale your business is online, as I mentioned at the top of the episode. For those of you that don't know, I have a dance studio and it's called The Dancing House. Why? Because I literally started it out of my house. All right. So I started my business after my third baby and grew it to about 100 students that came into my house each week for dance classes. Okay. My neighbors, God bless them, they were very patient and kind with me because yes, it was a traffic little nightmare. But I did it and had this beautiful thing going that I didn't really fully appreciate at that time. It wasn't until I moved out and had got my commercial space that I was like, gosh, you really had a really great thing going. But let's back up. I did not necessarily want my big commercial space because I did know that that's rent, that's overhead with staff, that's insurance, that's just, you know, traveling to the location, taking up time, space, cleaning it, maintaining it. Oh my gosh, the build out, all the things. So I really, it gave me cause to pause because I was like, there's online places, there's online things I can do. So that's why I started diving into online curriculum and memberships because I thought I could do that and it would serve a purpose. It would fill a purpose. As I alluded to in the beginning, it is different marketing online than it is brick and mortar, and it just takes a different strategy. And quite frankly, with five kids, single parent, because I had recently gone through a divorce, I did not have the bandwidth to do it really well. I had some success. I learned a ton, and thankfully, what I learned there is serving me today. But taking your business and moving it online might be a way to grow and scale. And you might be able to do it really well, especially if you have a really strong niche. And there's so much more out there today than there was. This is like 8 years ago when I did it. So there's just so much more help and coaching and courses to teach you how to do it well. So that might be a way to grow and scale without taking on the commercial space, all right? And therefore, not have the extra team. You can teach a course or you could have a membership. And that could be a way to do it. My fourth point, as you grow and scale, this is so important, is creating your systems and documenting your systems. Because as you grow and scale, you are going to have more people in your sandbox with you. And when we start our businesses, we are usually starting our businesses because of passion, love, wanting to help, wanting to serve, wanting to teach others what we do. And usually we're the lone wolf. We're the one doing all the things. And then as we grow, we add on team members. I cannot emphasize enough to document what you do. And that is so hard for us to slow down and document what we do step by step, even just bullet points on a Google Doc, and then handing it off and then letting them ask questions as you fill it in. It is life-saving as you expand, because there's going to be things that happen now as you grow that you haven't done in 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, depending on how you grow when that person took over. And let's say that person now leaves. Now you have to train in somebody new. And if you did not document those systems or have that team member document systems, I'm sorry, it's going to be super painful. So to do that and to be intentional about it, but mainly I'm talking about you, what you do. Many business owners, you know, hire on that team member and then ask the team member to document their systems, okay? That is smart. But what we don't do is we don't document what we are doing, because we're doing it and we're going to continue doing it. But we have to think bigger. And if you're going to grow and scale, you're going to hopefully work yourself out of a job so that way you can really enjoy the benefits of having a business, so that we're not living in our business 80 hours a week. We're enjoying our business so that our business can run or be sold. And that's the goal, is that we have that freedom to do that. And in order to sell our business, we need to document those systems so people know that things run without you. You don't want a business that runs with you. You want the business to run without you so you can sell it and make as much profit as possible. My fifth point, everybody, is embracing adaptability, being flexible, being open to options that maybe you didn't think of. I'm going to give you two examples. My first example is digital or online. So maybe you are interested in wanting to know more about maybe doing a course or a membership, something online for your business to grow and scale. That might be a great option. And you might start the process. You might start writing out your course outline. You might start doing some video. You might start playing around with YouTube or Trainable or whatever platform you use for doing this. And then you might realize real quickly, like, this isn't for me. I don't want to do this. What about being an affiliate for somebody else who's already done it? That might be a way to get some extra income. If you truly have a following of people that want to learn, you could say, you know what, I don't personally do that, but this person does. Please use them. And then you get an affiliate link and get some money that way. Or maybe it's the products that, like for my studio, I do these classes. Well, here's links to the shoes and the clothing, and then I get a commission off that. So there's different ways to do it and bring in money there. And then the other way is being resourceful with your space. As I alluded to earlier, I have this huge 3,000 square foot facility. It's basically almost double of what I truly need. So I had to be resourceful. How can I fill that space? Originally, I had a little office area that I was hoping I could get a music teacher in there and get the music teacher to rent the space. Well, I wasn't thinking big enough because that music teacher would probably bring in like $250 to $300 a month based on the size of the room and then just what she could give. So I was able to just, I literally said it out loud. I need to lower my rent $1,000. How am I going to do that? And lo and behold, my friend shows up and wants to open a dancewear boutique. And I'm like, sold. Let's do this. Let's make it happen. So how can you be resourceful? Or maybe rather than up-leveling to a larger space, maybe collaborating with somebody who's in your industry, not a competitor, but somebody, a complementary provider maybe, and using their space when it's not being used to hold extra things for you or events that you want to do. So for me, like as a dance studio, like I mentioned, I could go to the local church and use their open area, or maybe there's a physical therapy space that has open space and they're not using it on a Wednesday night. Well, could I come in with a smaller group of students and rent their space to provide the space that I need without taking on 4,000 square feet that I really only need for about 2 hours on a Wednesday night? So how can we be resourceful? I cannot emphasize the importance of being strategic and lean. All right. If you have not read Profit First, please read it. It is a must read for business owners. And especially as we get excited about our business and our SEO is working for us and we are seeing the results and the fruits of our labor, now we need to be really, really mindful of not getting too far too soon or go too fast without having proper cash so that we can maintain our success. The top reason business fail is because of cash flow, poor cash flow. And ultimately, all these points drive home the importance of being wise and frugal and streamlined so that you have optimal cash flow so that you can truly enjoy your business and not be stressed out about it. So I hope these 5 points helped you, maybe gave you cause to pause as you are maybe achieving some great results with your business. Good for you. That's awesome. Congrats. I am so happy for you. That's what I want. I want all of us to be the only option in town. But maybe you're in a different situation and you're needing to cut costs or figure out how to be super resourceful so that you can maintain some cash in your business. So just take some time, think about this on your walk or wherever you are on how you can make your business lean and tight and profitable and super successful for your identification of success. Because our business just isn't ours, you guys. If you are married or have a partner or have kids or even your family, you know, extended family or your dear friends, the stress and joy of your business, it ripples out. And we want to not have our business just suffocate us as humans. We want our businesses to thrive. So we are showcasing our best self to our partners, to our kids, to our families, and to our friends. And in order to do that, we need to be super smart with how we grow and scale. All right, my brick and mortar business owner, and those of you that don't have a storefront yet, but your goals are to have a storefront, to hang that shingle and have your brand out in the public to serve your community well. You are my hero. You get up, you create something great, and the market says you are needed, you are valued, you are wanted. And I want you to be the only option in town by making sure people can find you, like you, and trust you faster than your competition. Competition is good, but I want you to be the only option in town. Have a great week, everybody. If you like the podcast, please like, follow, do all the things, share it with your besties, share it on your stories, tag me so that I can shout you out. And if you really enjoyed it, I would be so honored if you left an honest rating and review on your favorite platform that you are listening. It means the world to me, and it helps this show get out to more people. Thank you so much. Have a great week. We will see you here, same time, same place next week. Peace. Bye-bye.